Blog Talk Radio.
Why not? Do or do not. There is no try.
Welcome to this week's Left Ahead podcast. This is Mike Ball, also of Marion, Massachusetts, and her rumpf. Tell you right now, we have former City Councilor John Connolly coming up next week, same time, Tuesday at 2:30. On the 24th of February, and he's in the still in the education business. That was his love before when he was a city councilor, and he ran the education committee, and now he's gone back out in the private sector after losing a run for mayor. But he's going to come talk to us about his home visit heroes that figure out how each individual child learns one-on-one, and makes their life better for them and their teachers and their schools and their parents. So join us next week at 2:30 for the same thing on Tuesday. Today we're talking about Boston. The question is it broken? I guess the question is, how broken is Boston? And it's, you know, I've been here for just over 35 years, and I guess you know, I should just be one of these wild, chauvinistic, parochial guys who says, oh, it's the most wonderful place in the world. There's nothing can prove it. It's just great. And I'm not that way at home. I'm not that way with myself. I'm not that way in my city. Boston's got some problems, and we've been seeing a lot of them recently. You know, you think about the managers that you have been or managers you have known, and it's not a big deal to manage things when things are going well. You got lots of resources, got lots of money, no crises, everything's swell. It's no big deal whether you're in private sector or public or volunteering. It's, you know, managing the easy is easy. It's when the crisis comes, when you find out how creative people are and how analytical they are and how well prepared they are and what they really need in terms of resources, and then how they plan to fix it and get out of it. And Boston has not been shining in that for some time now. So I'll deal with some of those issues and make some suggestions at the end. But I got to say, you know, the most obvious thing is the damn snow. We've got like 8 feet of snow in the last month and a half, and it's most of it still on the ground and on the roofs and on the streets. And we didn't do well. The MBTA, our T, the transit that runs commuter rail and city buses, subways, trolleys, failed. Just abjectly failed. The city was unable to, and still is unable to, clean the streets, clear the streets. And I'll get into that. It has to do more than it ever has done to get that done in such a crisis. This is a big deal. We've had so much snow in such a short period of time, and we couldn't do it. I mean, there's no big surprise in New England to have snow, even a lot of snow. In Boston, you know, often Cape Cod gets more than we do. Often Maine and New Hampshire get more than we do. This year, Boston was the epicenter for all the snow. We've gotten a whole lot. I think Lowell got a little bit more than we did, but Boston got, you know, far more than its share, far more than it normally gets, and it came in a very short period of time, and we failed. We didn't do it. The subways and commuter rail and many of the buses were just cut off. The general manager of the T, Dr. Beverly Scott, said it was probably going to be a month before full service is restored after getting all the lines cleared, all the rails cleared, everything in good shape for their schedules. So we have workers and students, particularly college students, but also high school students, unable to get to where they need to be. And businesses are in terrific trouble because they're losing sales. Restaurants are terrifically bad. I mean, a whole bunch of companies are likely to go out of business as a result of this month and a half, almost 2 months coming up. And that's not too jolly. And people are going to say, well, why weren't you ready? And what is the surprise? It snows in Boston, you know. But this is, does not fall in the class of act of God like, multiple tornadoes or a killer hurricane or a tidal wave. You know, this is to be expected, and what happened? And lots of bad things happened, and they point out to some of the broken things in Boston. And we just jump right into the tea. We have a governor now, Charlie Baker, the new Republican governor. He's only been in there about 2 months. And we can hang some of this around his neck. It's funny. There are conservative newspaper writers who are saying, well, this all started with Michael Dukakis, and he had these unreasonable plans to expand the T and, cut down on the amount of vehicular traffic and all this kind of stuff. But the fact is, Baker and then Governor Weld, Bill Weld, planned with then the following Governor Cellucci, this big dig, the gigantic project to sink the central artery in the middle of Boston. It was mostly paid for by federal money, but even so, there was the nature of $6 billion that the state had to cough up, the Commonwealth, as we call it around here. And the then guy who was in charge of the financing for the state and the transportation part of it was a guy named Charlie Baker, who is now our governor. And he worked with the legislature, almost entirely Democratic legislature. It's like, 85% Democrats. And they came up with a scheme where the money needed was kicked down the road, and that was you pass along to the T, put the T on there, put it on forward funding, which means it has to make as much money as it spends, and all of that was going to be paid for with the never-ending growth spiral of sales taxes. And where have we heard that before? That was the fantasy of the World War II generation, the greatest generation. Their big scam that screwed the boomers and the millennials and all the people who came out. They're like Kronos who ate their own children and grandchildren. They built a great plan where because of the huge growth in the economy as a result of gearing up for World War II and immediately thereafter, then we were going to have a never-ending growth spiral in our economy. And they staffed up tremendous amounts of middle managers, and they gave themselves huge pensions and terrific benefits. I mean, the GI Bill is the beginning of it. And it went on and on and on. And all of a sudden, this never-ending growth spiral, well, it worked for them. But it didn't work for their children or their grandchildren or their nephews or their nieces. And that's what we're dealing with today, is the greatest generation was also the dumbest generation. That was a really stupid thing to do. And we had the same kind of fantasy working here in Massachusetts. Well, our sales tax revenue is solid, so we'll just peg to it. And so the legislature billed that to the MBTA. And so now you just take care of it, and your money will come from sales tax. And it didn't. The sales taxes plunged, and the voters wouldn't override the limits on the sales tax. So it went down and down and down. And so depending on who's doing the calculation, anywhere from 1 in 5 to 1 in $2 that the T gets goes to debt service. So it's wasted. And it's a stupid thing to do. And the legislature and the governors have no intention of fixing that. And that's really irresponsible. That's imprudent, as we say in the biz. So we have that going on, and the T is, meanwhile, committed to all kinds of expansion. It's supposed to put the Green Line out to Medford. It's supposed to, all kinds of stuff is supposed to go on there. Train's supposed to go down to several places in Cape Cod, and, that works if you have the money. And meanwhile, that money is also supposed to pay for maintenance. It's supposed to pay for updating your cars on the various rails and your buses. And the money isn't there. hasn't been there. And yet, the T is mandated to make these expansions, and there is no money. And the legislature is not doing anything about it. That's crazy, craziness. So here it came, this huge snow, 7-8 feet of snow came in, you know, like 3 weeks. It was crazy stuff. And the tracks froze, and the switches froze, and they had to stop the trains, all the trains, and all the buses running for days at a time. And now they're saying maybe 30 days we might be able to get things back in that. And that's crazy stuff. So we've got that going. And by the way, we have a bid in. We're representing the United States in the International Olympic Committee's bid for the 2024 Summer Games. We're our nation's representative. And I'm thinking, okay, they're looking at us and saying, okay, the bad stuff happens. And was Boston ready? No. Could Boston deal? No. That has to hurt our Olympic bid. And it may be that the International Olympic Committee has decided this is America's year and the United States is due, and that would give us a big leg up. But I got to say, we've got to overcome this. We've got to show them, we have to prove to them that we can maintain, upgrade, and improve and expand our transit by 2024 to get this bid. And I got to say, right now, we are flat-footed. It's just not happening. We got like a year and a half till the bids really come in, and they have to make a decision. I don't know that we're going to be ready in a year and a half. This is going to be a fairly dreadful thing. And there's no doubt we have to fix this stuff. I mean, we've known this for decades. We've got to do it. And you know, there are people who drive cars only. Don't use commuter rail or mass transit, or say, oh, why should I have to pay for that? And, of course, they forget or never knew how heavily subsidized they are with their roads and their gas and all the expenses of the automobile and the trucks, and their taxes on gas and property don't begin to pay for what the federal and state government pay to keep them on the road. And of course, I think we shouldn't. You know, all the modes should be equally subsidized. And given that the case, you know, I had this thing with, you know, former Governor Mike Dukakis. He was a guest on this show, and we talked about that. And I would much prefer that all the T, the buses and the subways and the trolleys, commuter rail, are free, and make people think, oh, well, this is frequent and inexpensive or free, and we need to do that and leave their cars at home and stop the pollution, the noise, the wrecks, the congestion. And we can do that if we, you know, have a mass transit that is frequent, convenient, clean, and cheap. So that requires expenditures, and I think, you know, there again, we'll get into that, but that's where we ought to be headed, and that's haven't been where we're headed. We can't even maintain what we have, and we've been an abject failure at it. And meanwhile, the general manager, the chief, Beverly Scott, Dr. Beverly Scott, quit. She's short-tempered, but she talks it straight, and she was basically saying she'd had enough of this. She's getting out of there. So there's a chance for Charlie Baker to stop hiding from this thing. He's just saying, oh, well, you know, I don't really control the T, you know, like Kelly doesn't. Yes, he does. And he appoints the next general manager, and he sets the policies, and he goes to the state house and tells both houses, this is what we need to do, this is what we need to spend, and he's got to step up to this. So there we go. We got our we got to pay for maintenance and expansions, and get ourselves back online. So he's got to stop. I mean, he doesn't have to come out and say, "It was all my fault. I developed a scam." I should call it scheme. The financing he did, but he's not going to say that. He's, you know, he has a huge ego, so he's not going to let that one go. So and the legislature, can they? admit what terrific boner they made by linking this thing to a never-ending growth spiral of sales taxes. That deal was that one penny out of the 5 pennies of the sales tax was going to go to the T, and that became less and less and less, and that's where the basis of the trouble is. And, you know, the legislature made the decision, and it was on a whim, and it seemed to be the easy way out to fix, and they blew it. And they blew it big time, and we'll be paying for this for decades more. So the governor's got to drive them, and the legislature's got to come in, and the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate got to get together and say, we need to fix this. We made a huge cock-up, and we need to do something about it. So that's errors in there, and you've got to do that. And the city streets, let's talk about it. I live in an area on a very tall, very steep hill, and the buses don't even run when the stuff is really bad because they can't get up and down the damn hill. And the streets on our main drag, which doesn't have people parking on the side at all, have not gotten cleared. There's basically one little teeny lane through the middle of it, and getting up and down the hill is hell. And we're not the bad part. I mean, South Boston, Revere, or you know, other Charlestown, other parts of Boston are much worse, and the people can't even pass through them. There are huge sections of South Boston that are making the streets one way because people can't get through. There's a big issue there. Can you clear the city streets? And for forever, Boston has done the chicken thing, which is to say, okay, we'll push everything to the side. We'll cover in the cars that are still parked on the street and let everybody dig out. So then everybody shares. And it doesn't work in places like Beacon Hill where there are no yards to put in increasing piles of snow. That's true for much of the South End, too. But where they have yards, like my neighborhood in the southern part of town, in Hyde Park, you can. But it puts the onus on the individual homeowner to go through and shovel and shovel and shovel and put stuff up more and more. So everybody kind of shares in the pain. But it's an irresponsibility. And this is hitting really pretty hard right now because our property taxes pay for almost everything here. Our property taxes in Boston are very high, and we just got new reassessment values, and they are way up. And so we're paying for all this stuff, and we're not getting it. And this city is the Commonwealth capital. So we have lots of things going on. All the government buildings are tax-free. Universities and colleges don't pay taxes. They can pay in lieu of taxes. Fees, if they choose to, under pressure from various politicians, and hospitals and other nonprofits are in the same situation, churches, so forth, and they don't pay. Huge amounts of Boston are tax-free zones. And so what that does, of course, is throw it back on the homeowner. So our taxes have been going up and up and up, and we're kind of like New Hampshire, but New Hampshire also doesn't even have an income tax. They do charge high property taxes, but they don't charge an income tax and sales tax, so you kind of get a break on the other side of it. But here in Boston, it falls on the city. It's crushing the middle class in Boston to have to pay for all this stuff, and they're not getting the services. And so what you would like to have, of course, it would be clean streets, clear streets. There are cities in the world, in this hemisphere. Think Montreal. Think Milwaukee. They get lots of snow, and yet their streets are cleared. The day after the snow, their streets are cleared. And that doesn't mean that it puts it on your sidewalk and you have to deal with it individually with your damn shovel or your damn snowblower. It means the city says, okay, you're paying for this, and we're going to take care of it. So maybe we can get down to a few of the things we might be able to do here. One more wacky thing, and it's deep. The Moonanites. In 2007, Turner Broadcasting had some wacky artists put out some LED, like kind of like light bright structures, and hung them up, you know, in various places, like on lampposts and under bridges and things like that. And it was like 10 or 11 cities. And Boston totally flipped. Massachusetts totally flipped. Everybody else, Los Angeles, all the others, New York, all these other cities, they looked at this stuff and said, this is some kind of toy joke. And you know, they took them down, and that was done. It was a Boston froze. They paralyzed several major roads and the waterways, the Charles River and on the harbor, and paralyzed them. And the Attorney General, then Martha Coakley, and the governor, and they went on, and just it was terrible. And the state police came out, and the city police came out. And to this day, none of the people involved in the stupidity, the absolute pathetic nature of paranoid, paralyzed immobility, admits that they were wrong. They say, oh, well, we acted properly. And you look at it and say, no, they didn't. Everybody else took care of it, and Boston was unable to. They were too paranoid. And we saw that again after the Boston Marathon bombing. And the governor's edict was shelter in place. So for days, these 3 to 6 million people in big rings around Boston, as well as the city itself, were also paralyzed. And they couldn't go any place. We were supposed to sit inside our houses. And people did it. I mean, we were like sheep listening to the bellwether, following the ring. We did whatever we were told. It's like you're going to the airport. You know, you do whatever the TSA agents tell you in terror. It's been that way since 9/11. And Boston, they said Boston's strong. Boston's strong, my butt. Boston weak. Boston cowardly. Shelter-in-place thing was a disgrace, and that was a shame, and we see that again. We saw that with the Moonerites beforehand, and we saw it with the after effect of the Boston Marathon bombing, and we got to show some guts in there. So anyway, where were we? Ranting on about things you might do. I got to say, our mayor is now Marty Walsh. Tom Menino was the mayor for 20 years. And we had others before. There was Ray Flynn before that, and Kevin White before that. And Marty Walsh has a great and challenging opportunity right now to do something about snow crises. And it requires some vision and a lot of guts. And what he needs to do, he's kind of like playing around on the edges of it now. He's looking at these $250,000 snow melting machines and thinking about, well, can we have more of these around? I mean, they have them now for neighborhoods like Beacon Hill where there isn't any place to put the snow. But is there any reason that we couldn't have one or two per neighborhood, like 16 neighborhoods in Boston, have those, and then scrape the snow away? Get rid of the damn snow. If anybody's parked during a snow emergency, tow them. Put those cars in lots. Get rid of them and clear off the streets to the curb. And do that. That would require real guts on and real vision on Marty Walsh's doing. And he would have to get some money. You'd probably have to go to the state. We have a stupid thing here called home rule, which means you can't rule your own home. It means anything you want to do as a city, you have to go to the legislature and get their approval. And cities can't raise their own money, can't set their own fees, can't do lots of things. But if it requires going to the legislature to get permission to raise the money to be ready for the next snow emergency, to clear off the subway tracks, to clear the streets, to actually get the snow off the road like real cities do. That's the chance for Marty Walsh, and he should do it. And we, for our money, Bostonians should expect cleared, clean streets after a major snowstorm. And that's not a big deal, and we should do that. We're paying for it. And for the Baker's part, Baker, I don't think, is going to ever admit that he really, really goofed up on his financing scheme. He's going to pass it off. He's already saying, well, only a half to a third of their T's debt is from that big dig. I'm sorry. He crippled the T. But he's saying, but nevertheless, let him go at it. He's in a position now where he can go to the legislature and say, okay, this didn't work. We said that the T needs to pay off all this debt, but but we didn't give them what we said we were going to. So we need to fix it. He needs to go to the legislature and drive that through and clear the T of its debt so it can do real forward funding and really do expand and really do maintain. Then the next general manager, or the one after that, I don't know how long it's going to take, comes in, can do the important things. But Charlie Baker's got to show some guts and get in there and tell the legislature they have to fix their thing. Now, for the other, I don't know, hardest of all is getting Americans to show some courage and guts after 9/11. We got so flipped out, and understandably so. But honestly, we can't be such cowards as we were with the Moonites, as we were with shelter in place. I mean, this is absolute silliness. We need to work on that, and you can do some simple things. We need not to blindly obey authority. I mean, we have to when we go to the airport. I mean, those people are just in control. I think a good president could rein in the TSA, but that's going to be a while too. But in the meanwhile, I mean, we can look at, we're at a tipping point as a nation now. We can do something about police abuse of their power and authority. And we are at a point where so many people, young black men, old black men, white women, all people are being beaten up and killed by cops, and people are just are sick of it. There are bad cops out there that are, it's kind of like the AMA and the State Medical Association's living bad doctors slip by. There are too many bad cops out there. We need to get rid of them. And we need to advocate, well, for civilian review boards. It's the least we can do. In Boston, I'll do it, and you should do it in your city, too. We need to have oversight over cops, good and bad, and get it down. And we need to speak up to authority and say, we love what you're doing that's good, we hate what you're doing that's bad, and we're going to fix it. So that's enough. Those are the big things I have in plan, and I think we can get it down there now. So let's plan on all those things. Otherwise, we have a totally different show next week. John Connolly, with whom I have great respect, is going to come on and talk about his new life, working on fixing education in Boston. And we're looking forward to that. So Tuesday the 24th at 2:30, tune in for John Connolly. And we'll look forward to talking at you again. Goodbye.
Why not? Do or do not. There is no try.